Prepping for everyday scenarios and potential emergencies can be a practical approach to staying safe. Today, we're going to discuss essential items that we as preppers should carry every day.
Welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is Monday, May 13th, 2024, and this is episode 467. This is the prepping podcast with no bunkers, no zombies, and no alien invasions. Just practical prepping, where we believe that stuff happens, so we need to stay prepared, and we're here to help you get prepared. I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. And if you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/467. Now let's talk about some of these EDC items that we need to carry every single day.
Okay, then some of these will be on body and some will be off body. That'll be interesting list.
Some adjustments may need to be made depending on your attire, your employer policies, or your occupation. So these are just items that we believe that we need to have available every single day. And you may have to make adjustments different from what we have on our list. And we're not saying this is all you need to carry. And we'll actually not say that you must carry every single one of these. But these are things that we believe that every single prepper should have with us. Now, one is a given. We need our wallet, our ID, and our keys. And we need to always have that identification on us, even if we're out walking or jogging. You know, we could be injured.
You know, I've noticed a lot of folks that are out walking now that the weather's getting warmer, and it has dawned on me. I wonder if that gentleman over there or that young lady over there has any kind of ID on them. And I'll share quickly with you that what I would do if I were out walking or jogging, I would actually have a wrist wallet on my wrist. It's a fabric with pockets and zippers, and you can put insurance card and a driver's license and a money or credit card if you want to carry that, but at least have your ID on you and it's on your wrist, so it's you're not having to carry anything like across your shoulder or like a bag or a fanny pack or anything like that. So think about that. Have a wrist wallet on you and at least you can have some identification.
Exactly. And I've actually seen some runners that will have those around their upper arm.
Yeah, I've seen some too. That very same kind of an idea where they've got a little
exactly
elastic something up there.
And it's good to have that in view because if you are injured, and Krista's related this once before, she was out doing her daily walking and she literally passed out and just fell face forward.
I did. I was dehydrated and had been stung by a bee. So I had a perfect storm of dehydration and an anaphylactic shock, and I went face first.
And I really don't remember you telling me whether you did or did not have identification on you.
I did not.
So
I did not.
What happens if you're passed out?
Yeah.
Then you're transported and you're brought into the hospital under Jane Doe.
Well, right.
So always have that identification. And that wallet is something that we will have our money, to have our debit card, to have our ID cards, things like that, to get into our work or whatever, and obviously our keys. And those should be common to everybody, whether we are preppers or not. But we are. So let's talk about some other things.
Well, something like a multi-tool, which would be a compact, versatile tool, and it can combine knives, screwdrivers, pliers, you know, other functional type of tools. Now, here's the thing. If you fly a lot, there is a TSA-compliant multi-tool that omits the knife blade for the obvious reasons.
Exactly.
And so you can still carry a multi-tool that has different types of things on there other than anything that could be construed as a weapon.
Right. And some of those are sold and they will say TSA compliant.
Exactly. You can order them that way.
But that multi-tool is so handy. I carry one all the time. I carried one on my duty belt. I carry one on my blue jeans. I haven't figured out a way to carry one on elastic shorts, but, you know, I want one with me all I can. And I have been known to take it out of the case and put it in my pocket.
Well, there you go.
So that I've got it. And mm-hmm. It depends on what I'm doing, but it's so handy, especially with the grandkids. The grandkids always come up and say, "Papa, would you fix this?"
Oh, yeah. They need something opened, or they need a screwdriver tightened up, or is some kind of a thing, you know.
And one of the things I found with toys for kids today, and it's not a bad idea, it can be a little irritating for parents, but the battery covers are actually screwed in.
Yeah, you have to have like a little teeny tiny Phillips head
right
to open that little pack up, which is probably good for toddlers because that way they can't easily get into it and get around some batteries.
They don't run them out more than once or twice a day, so it's not that big of a deal. But I've got one little tiny screwdriver in my multi-tool that will remove those Phillips heads so I can put the batteries in for the little ones.
Well, you mentioned about carrying a multi-tool in your pocket. Well, how about just a plain old-fashioned pocket knife? You know, that type of thing that really would go into your pocket. A reliable, sharp blade for a variety of tasks, you know, from opening some of those pesky plastic packages to some emergency self-defense.
Yes. Now, my pocket knife is a little bit too small to be using for personal defense, but there are some folding knives, and I've carried one a number of times and do from time to time that clips inside my pocket, and I will wear that in my left front pocket, and I can get to it. But I carry a pocket knife as a tool, and I use it for lots of things, like you said, for opening packages. Amazon comes and out comes the pocket knife. Mm-hmm. And I use it for various things. I've used it to literally cut apples to eat.
Yes, you know? He's done that.
And Jim Curtis says when you sharpen your knife, if you will use vegetable oil instead of some type
of machine oil,
your apple will taste better.
Yes, it
and
will.
And I have found that to be true.
That's a good
but
call.
50 years ago, every man had a pocket knife in his pocket. I mean, it was rare for a man not to have a pocket knife. Mm-hmm. And we don't see enough of it anymore today.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you've got a problem with something, find a guy that carries a pocket knife. He's likely to be able to fix it.
True.
So we need a pocket knife. How about a flashlight?
Well, that's your favorite thing, gear-wise, I think.
Well, I do tend to actually sometimes carry multiple.
Oh, yes, because you've got, there's, how many kinds of flashlights are there?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? But I don't have them all.
Let's not find out, no, okay?
But I have found the numerical number for the number of flashlights you need to have.
Oh?
That's how many you have plus one.
Okay, sure, naturally.
I always need one more.
Right.
But I have one little small single AAA that I will wear in my shirt pocket. Mm-hmm. I have a double pen light AA that I will carry in my pocket, sometimes in my back pocket. I have a bigger one that I carry in a bag. So, I mean, it's not uncommon for me to have three flashlights with me.
And I've noticed, too, it's you don't have to wait for it to be dark of night to use a flashlight. Sometimes you're looking for something under furniture or down inside the hood of an engine where there may be dark spaces, and you can't depend on natural light to illuminate that for you. So that flashlight's very handy.
Yeah, or in my case, trying to find something inside my EDC bag.
Well, yeah. You know, they actually made women's purses with built-in lights for that very purse. Isn't that smart?
That's a smart
idea. Think about it. Yeah.
It really is.
Stuff gets lost in there.
Because that's a dark hole in there.
Yeah.
Next thing on our list is a personal defense item.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, depending on the legal restrictions and your own personal comfort, of course, this could range from pepper spray, a very loud whistle, or a personal alarm device, up to and including a firearm.
Yep. Now, we advocate carrying a firearm if you can, but we do suggest that you stay legal. You get a permit if a permit's required in your state. And that you get training, whether it's required or not, that you learn how to use that firearm and be proficient with it before you begin to carry it. Now, you can also, and I've told you about my walking stick. It's almost like a hiking stick, although right now with some of my unsteadiness, it's really a lot better for walking right now. But that thing could be used defensively if necessary. I mean, it's a pretty good chunk of wood. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about a cane. We're talking about more of a hiking stick.
Yeah, you put a J up on the top of that, and you got Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. And
yeah.
That's his Moses rod.
That would be a staff at that problem.
A shepherd's crook.
Yeah. So some type of personal defense item, and that's whatever you're comfortable with or whatever you're allowed to carry in your country or in your city. Now, this next thing, part of this needs to be on our body. The other part we can actually carry in our bag.
Okay.
And that's a phone with a backup power source.
Very smart.
Now, having a fully charged smartphone is a good idea. I mean, okay, most of us carry some type of smartphone today.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so handy. But in time of need, the battery seems to be low. And we were out somewhere the other day, and I had not charged mine during the day as I normally do. And it ran out just before we got home.
Yep, sure did.
But if we'd been off someplace, I would have pulled out my backup power source and plugged it into my telephone, and it would have charged it up, and I would have been able to use it within a minute or two. And so that's something, and you can carry the phone on you, and you can carry that backup power source in some type of off-body bag.
And I'll tell you, too, that there are now more and more wireless ways to charge any device.
Mm-hmm.
Saw some on TV the last week, and it was a folding out. It was like three squares, and each square was a wireless platform, and you could put a watch and a phone and a tablet within range. You could even put these squares into a triangle shape, and you could actually charge three things at one time wirelessly because that particular charger was already charged up. And so it's great for traveling, or if you're out, you don't even have to depend on a cable anymore. So we're getting more and more wireless mm-hmm. with our charging bank. So think about that as well.
And I've not seen that one. I think I'm going to have to
check it out.
And for me, that would be great on the bedside at night.
Oh, it would be perfect.
Because I'm generally charging at least two, if not three devices
mm-hmm.
on the night table.
Exactly.
All right, so we're talking about putting that battery power source in some type of off-body bag, but we're going to now transition to talking about things that we need to carry in that bag.
Okay, for our EDC, our everyday carry.
Exactly, and it's just to have it available. Now, this first one, I usually have it in both, but I carry a lighter. We need some type of fire starter. So I carry a refillable butane lighter that not only is a flame like a torch, but it also has that plasma, the crossed X.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little arcing type
yes.
of an igniter.
And that will start all types of things. We need some type of lighter or matches or even a ferro rod, but something that we could start a fire for warmth or cooking in an emergency. But it's amazing how handy some type of lighter will be. I've used it to burn a string off of clothing so that it doesn't ravel.
And we certainly want you to be very careful. If you're out in the wild woods and there's a lot of dry, you've got to be very careful, obviously,
oh, sure.
about starting a fire, and even more careful about ending your fire because
yes.
we don't want that to keep going.
But we need some type of mm-hmm. fire-starting device with us.
Yes, and we're not heroes. You know, we're going to want the most convenient, easiest, compact, modern way to do it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's just practical for us. Also, you want to think about carrying some kind of a compact first aid kit. You just never know when you just need a single Band-Aid or maybe some antiseptic ointment. Something, maybe even an alcohol swab type packet sometimes could help is a nice essential to have in a very small compact first aid kit. You may have a cut, a bug bite, a burn. You know, who knows what can happen, and it would just be great for you to be able to have some way to clean that little wound and also cover it as well.
And put you some OTC meds in there as well.
Oh, good call, yeah.
My first aid kit, and I have it in my hand right now, and you commented on it not long ago, it is actually a sunglass case.
It's very clever.
A zippered sunglass
mm-hmm.
case.
Yeah.
And I had this, and I said, I'll need that at some point. So I hoarded this little baby until I decided what to do with it. And it is now a first aid kit that goes in my bag. And I would also say, carry a few days of your regular medication with you.
Oh,
your
okay.
own prescription medication.
Yeah.
Now, when I was with the county, every now and then I had to be on the air in the morning by 6 o'clock. Now, when we were having roll call, that means I need to leave home by 5:30. Well, sometimes I hadn't had that third cup of coffee to wake up and I would forget to take my medication before I left home. Well, I had a 3-day supply in my bag. So either when I went into roll call, I would take it with me, or I would pull over on the side of the road somewhere and I would take out a day's worth of medication and take my morning medications. And so it's good to have those with you. Now, one of the reasons that we want to have maybe 3 days is something could happen. And I've seen situations, I got called to the hospital with my dad one time, and I didn't get home for 2 days.
Yeah.
So having that medication is good to have there. If there's some type of situation and you can't get home, you have that medication. Another thing that you want to have, and a lot of us carry these already, is a water bottle. Now, there's all types of water bottles, and you can get them insulated. You can get them non-insulated. I like having one in the car bag that is a single-wall stainless steel that I could actually heat water in if I need to. But we need some type of water bottle, even if it's insulated, whatever. We need to have that so that we can carry some drinking water with us in some type of durable bottle. But in case we're out somewhere and we have to source water and we're not sure whether that water is pure or not, we can have some water purification tablets. Water purification tablets take up a lot smaller space than will, say, a Sawyer Mini. If you have room for the Sawyer water filter, carry it, or a Life Straw if that's your preference. And we carry those in our car bags, which function as our get-home bags. But in a small, like in my small EDC bag, I wouldn't want to dedicate the space for a water filter in there because I'm not that likely to need it, at least on a regular basis. But if I have that water bottle, I can fill it, put the prescribed amount of water purification tablets in it, shake it up some, give it 30 minutes, shake it up a little bit more, give it a few minutes more, and then I've got clean water to drink. That's why I have listed water purification tablets.
Okay, here's something else to keep in mind. Emergency cash, you know, small denominations, ones, fives, maybe tens, 20s at the most, or whatever your local currency is, because you may encounter a situation where electronic payment methods are no longer available. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens after a severe storm event or a flooding event, some sort of a crisis or catastrophe has happened, and the ability for a merchant to take a credit card or debit card is gone, at least temporarily. But they're still open for business and they will take cash. So you might need to keep a little bit of cash, you know, folded up there and have that on you because you may have to use that.
That's a good idea. Next thing I have on here is a USB drive. And I have carried a USB drive for a number of years. And I have found that thing to be very, very handy. Now, one of the things that I carry on it, actually, I carry several things. There's identification, there's social security card on mine, there's insurance type cards and such as that. But I have also used it to carry certain software. But another thing that I've carried is all of Krista's performance tracks for her music. So if we are somewhere and someone says, "Would you sing?" She tells me what track she wants. We pull it off of the thing. So she's always got her music in my pocket or in my bag.
It's if a gospel music emergency breaks out.
Yeah. Well, those that know her have been known to ask her to sing spur of the moment. And she's always been glad to do that. Never, ever have I seen her turn anybody down on that. But we have her music there. So that's an excuse taken out of the way. So she can't use that as an excuse. But another thing that I have done with that is I have used it to save files to bring home from work. I've used it to transfer a file from one computer to another rather than emailing it if we're in the same room or same building. It's easier to do with that. So I've carried them on my keychain. I've carried them in my pocket. I always have one in my EDC bag. Just that USB drive is a very, very handy thing to have.
Something else you can carry in that bag is some paracord. You know, we did an episode not too long ago about the different kinds of paracord, mm-hmm. and I've been in the hardware store, and I have actually seen that from the very thinnest to the as thick as my little finger. And it's a strong, lightweight cord, and they're usually multiple threads coiled around to make a single rope. But you can use paracord single, or you can take it apart and make fishing line out of it. You can build a shelter. You can make some makeshift repairs, use it for shoelaces, bootlaces. You can make a dog leash out of it if you need to.
I've done that twice.
Yes.
I've done that twice.
Had to catch a dog for somebody?
Well, actually, one of them is the driver of the car was going to jail, and the dog could not drive. He didn't have a driver's license, okay. So had to call somebody to come get him, and there was no leash in that car.
Okay.
So I made a leash to be able to control the dog.
Clever.
Another time is we had one running loose, and I was able to pull out a section of paracord and make really a run line. I tied him to the clothesline so he could run back and forth.
Okay.
But twice that I've actually used that to make a dog leash.
Smart.
Something that I like to have in mind is non-perishable snacks.
Oh, good.
And you want something that's not really subject to hot or cold.
Yeah, kind of impervious to the conditions.
Yeah, you don't want a chocolate bar if it's going to be 100 degrees inside there.
Right.
But energy bars work great. Other high-energy type snacks. There's lightweight snacks, but something for quick sustenance. And I like to carry a Payday bar.
Yeah, that is a perfect EDC snack bar.
It is. And one of the reasons is you've got peanuts that has some protein, and you've got the nougat that gives you some instant energy, mm-hmm. more or less. And so it balances it out. For someone who is diabetic, it's a good candy bar to eat.
Sure.
Because it helps keep you leveled out some.
You may want to think about also including a space blanket. It's a compact emergency blanket. You've probably seen them. They're kind of silvery in color, but mm-hmm. they can reflect your body heat. If you had, for example, to be in your car for 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 hours stranded somewhere, and perhaps it's 40 degrees outside, you might like to have an emergency blanket to wrap around your hands, your feet, as much of you as possible, because you may not want to be running your heater in your car the whole entire time, and you can wrap up in that blanket, and it'll knock the cold off of you. So that would be a great, and they're so small when they're folded up, they don't take up a lot of space.
No, it's not even probably 3x5,
mm-hmm, sure,
and about a half inch thick, and you'll never get it back in the pack after you take it out.
That's but, okay.
I mean, they're pretty much disposable anyway.
Right.
I've used them at car wrecks during cold weather to wrap somebody up.
That's smart.
I've also used them as a windbreak when I was hunting.
Oh.
And I needed to get my back to the wind, wrap that around me, and still be hidden from whatever, you know, animal I was hunting that day. And it may not have always worked out because I don't ever think I've killed a deer or anything when I was wrapped up in one. So maybe I was giving myself away, but I was staying warm. So
sure.
That space blanket, good thing to have, and they're just a couple of bucks. Duct tape. I don't expect you to carry a roll of duct tape.
Yeah, because that can be really big.
That can. Now, we have one in the car, but we have a different type of storage method for duct tape, mm-hmm. in our bags.
Sure.
And that is, we have taken strips of it and wrapped it around something.
Like a pencil.
Well, like a pencil. Now, it's actually about a 1.5 inch by 1.5 inch thing that's in our bags. But that's too big to be carrying in our EDC bag. So I've seen folks that have taken it, torn strips, and wrapped it around a Bic lighter.
Oh, sure.
So you've got your lighter and you've got your duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
I have wrapped it around a pencil, and I've wrapped it around a wooden dowel.
Oh, sure.
But I like to have a couple of feet of it with me because it's just so handy. It's sure. so versatile. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could attach a paper to the wall with it if you had to.
Yeah, you don't really need 90 yards of duct tape in your EDC.
We're not trying to build a shelter out of our EDC bag,
no.
But we may have something torn. One of the things, and I don't see them as much today, but used to, we had big hems inside our pants, and that hem would get torn.
Yeah.
And you could take that piece of duct tape and you could fix that hem in those pants very, very quickly.
Yeah. It's a nice temporary fix.
Yeah. And it's to get you home.
Sure.
And so there's lots of uses for that. If you're not receiving the Practical Prepping newsletter, go to practicalprepping.info, click on free PDF, and you'll receive the free Getting Started in Prepping PDF, and it's 12 pages long, and you'll be added to the newsletter. Now, today's cup of coffee comes from Kevin Mack.
Hello, Kevin Mack. Thank you for that.
We really do appreciate it.
If you receive value from the podcast, how about helping us by giving back a little? First, you can buy us a cup of coffee, just like Kevin Mack did. And second, you can start your Amazon shopping right from our website. You go to our website, you scroll down, you see that Amazon banner. It costs you nothing extra, but if you'll shop through there, it does pay us a small commission on some qualifying purchases. And also check out some of our featured items for the week. Now, you'll find both the links to the Buy Me a Coffee and to the Amazon shopping at practicalprepping.info. It helps us out. We really appreciate it.
And as Krista always says,
stuff happens. Don't forget your EDC bag because you need to stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.